preparing everything and preparing your hearts. And so it is a blessing. One day maybe Gary could secretly record what we're doing and then play it back later, something like that. You know? Yeah, I know you could. I know that all the kind of sneaky things you can do. But I wanted to just bring some things. I just felt like when last few times I'm preaching, and I, again, it's just we're really trying. I know that it looks weird because we were actually today was going to be the last day that I would celebrate, and we would turn things over to Carl, and then something came up about that we couldn't do it today, and so we moved it to the 23rd, I think. And so Father Carl that day has been scheduled to preach at another church for the last year, so he's got to do that commitment. So then we thought we'd move it to the next week, and then we remembered that we're doing a wedding on that Sunday, and thank God for that. That's going to be a great occasion. So we wanted to not take away from that, and so now we're looking at another time. And Carl said this morning, maybe God is saying something. And I said, no, he's not. This is simply just delaying a little bit. And, anyway, it's going to happen. But I felt like I needed to talk about Gideon for at least some of the times that I preach. And it really ties into the scriptures from Hebrews 11 that was read earlier, and about faith, because it is about faith. And Gideon was mentioned as one of those men that faith. He was a man of faith, and even though there was a lot about Gideon's life, and there were things at the end of Gideon's life that didn't totally work out as glorious as his great victory, but God still spoke, used by the Holy Spirit, spoke of him in the book of Hebrews as a man of great faith. So I'm going to be like just saying some things and trying to glean some of just some principles out of the life of Gideon or what we know about Gideon and his experiences from Judges, mostly Judges chapter 6 and 7. And what I want you to get out of this is that for your own personal life, that you have real enemies. That there are real enemies. And that the greatest enemy is the enemy of your soul. That's number one. Number two is that you are a mighty warrior in the spirit. And then number three is that God's plan for all of us is a plan of victory. So, having said that, I want to just try to get a little bit out of Gideon's experiences. So, in Judges chapter 6, and I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to read a few things out of it, but I would encourage you to go back and read Judges 6 and 7, and you can get a little more out of it. And again, this is not exhaustive or anything like that. You could preach for generally on every three verses you could preach a sermon from Judges chapter 6. But Judges chapter 6, verse 3, for whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste the land they came in. Now, that's really the reality of our life. The enemy of our soul, those things like oppression, depression, of discouragement, despair, of all those things, they continually come at us. They're always out there. And there are so many more concepts. There are so many more things that we have to deal with that are our enemies, that are just there, and they're constant, they're large, they're always there. Sickness, disease, all those things. And here's the deal. The bottom line is everybody has those things. No matter, you don't have, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian. The hospitals that we have here in Birmingham or wherever you live, they're filled with Christians and non-Christians, with believers and non-believers, with Catholics and Protestants, with Charismatics and Baptists, and they're filled with and unbelievers. Everybody has those things that come against them in their life. Our psychiatric hospitals are filled again with all different kinds of people. It doesn't matter. Like the things that happen in our human life, those enemies that come at us, they're going to always be there. There's a difference though. And the difference comes in who you are. And who you are, especially in Christ. But listen what it says then. In verse 6, it said, And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. Now, that's really important to know that, because that's really where the enemy is effective. Not in the fact, in fact, we don't know, and you can, if you may be a better theologian than I am, and people certainly are, and a lot of people in this church are smarter and better theologians and know more, but sometimes you really just don't know if when things are going wrong, if it's like, if is it really God? Is it really Satan? Is it, just spiritual warfare? Or, is it just my flesh, my own failures, my own thoughts or whatever? It could be any of those. And we don't always know where those things are coming from. But where the enemy gets his hand in things, and where we are like Gideon and like the Israelites, is in this place in verse 6, and Israel was brought very low because of Midian. It's when the enemy can use whatever the circumstances that are around us, whether he brings them, whether the Lord brings them, whether they're our own fault, when we're brought to this low place in our own life, in our emotions, in our spiritual life, when we allow him to take us down low and to become discouraged and filled with despair and filled with hopelessness, because that's when we're not operating in faith. So this whole thing about Gideon was for Gideon to operate in faith. So knowing that you have real enemies that really want to destroy you, and that is really the bottom line, destroying your spirit, your spiritual life, your connection with God, to take away your faith. Because your life, your physical life, is going to end in this world at some point. That's the worst that can happen to you, is physically. But the really worst thing that can happen to you is to lose your faith. So knowing that you have the enemy of your soul is constant, he's reluctant, that those enemies are going to keep coming, that you need every day new mercies. Every day. That's why he says he does that. He renews us. He brings new mercies to us every day. Knowing that one of the main ways that the enemy gets to you and brings you to low places is by hijacking your emotions. By hijacking your emotions, by getting you in that place where then you respond, instead of with faith, you respond with anger, you respond with hopelessness, you respond with unbelief, with despair, with the discouragement. And all those things happen, and they happen to Gideon. And so looking down in verse 12, it said, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Now this is what God says about you. And this is a matter of faith, of believing what God says and not believing what you're feeling or what you're thinking or, probably the worst thing, what you're seeing. He said, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, just like we say, when God reminds us, sometimes God reminds us who we are and the great things he's done in our life, but we say, like Gideon, please, sir, the Lord is with us. Why then has all this happened to us? I mean, if God is with me, then why do I go through these things? Like I said, everybody goes through them. Where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, and he was like mocking the angel of the Lord. Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And that's where we think. That's where we get. It's not, again, it's not the circumstances. Look, everything that you have, everything that you own, can be taken away in a moment. And we're seeing that happen with people right now. We're looking across our nation and we're seeing, you know, people that have had, you know, have been wealthy, and people that have had good jobs, people that are down on the Gulf Coast through no fault of their own, you know, losing everything they have. Everything. We've witnessed our own friends, the Dieters, lost their whole home, everything they had. You can lose that in a moment. It happens all the time. People lose their jobs, their money, their everything. And it can happen to you whether you're a believer or not a believer. But what God is saying is, no, look, I'm going to tell you who you are. Because in the bottom line, that's all that really matters. So the angel told him in verse 14, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? So the angel of the Lord, which God will always do the same thing. When we come back to God with, why aren't you doing things the way I want you to do them? Why is my life falling apart? Why is everything going bad for me? You know, we can get in that place in our head, but God just turns around right back to us and said, go in this might of yours. You know, he's like totally ignored Gideon. Go in this might of yours. I'm going to win. And then we know, you know, a lot of the story of what happened about the fleece and all that. And I'm not going to read all that. But this gets us to the second point that I wanted to make, is that you are a mighty warrior in the spirit. But when you're oppressed or depressed, in other words, when you let the enemy bring you to that low place and you become oppressed and depressed and discouraged, then it becomes more difficult to see yourself the way that God sees you. It's more difficult then to see yourself the way God sees you. But God says that you are the temple, that you, your being, your physical, emotional, your soul, your spirit, the very essence of who you are, you, that one that you know, that person who you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's a better word than what the angel said to Gideon. You know, it's a better thing. Sometimes we need to know who we are. Sometimes we want to think that we're somebody, or we want to imagine or fantasize that we're something. I remember when I was a little kid, I wanted to be Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse. Yeah, I know some of the kids, man, are Mighty Mouse. Here I come to save the day. You know? I mean, Mighty Mouse was like a hero, man. Mighty Mouse was awesome. Little bitty mouse. I always liked him better than Mickey and all those other guys. Mighty Mouse. I mean, God didn't say, though, that you're a mighty mouth. He said you are filled with His mighty Spirit. In Psalm 18, He says He delights in you. And again, going back to what we were talking about from Colossians, you know, who God is. This you know, God, not just Jesus, who not just this man that walked the earth, the great man, full of wisdom and all that stuff. No, but the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, you are filled with His Spirit. And that's a better word. That's a better word, and that's what Hebrews says. It's a better thing. You have a better thing than those men had. That's who you are. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the delight of the Lord. And Romans says you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. No matter what it is that comes against you, all hell can and will come against you in your life. And what the enemy wants to do is just to take your faith away. You go, well, there's no hope. Nothing I can do. God has forsaken me. That's why every Sunday, if you hear nothing else, not one word, if you can't even listen to the sermon, if you can't listen to the scriptures, if you're just too distracted and down and distraught, every Sunday you will hear it said over and over. You will hear it said every Sunday that God will never forsake you. He'll never forsake you. So, let me just read a little bit more about Gideon. In chapter 7, the angel of the Lord continues speaking to Gideon. And this is kind of the funny part. Because Gideon thought he had the deal together. He, you know, Gideon began to get kind of encouraged and thinking, wow, this is really an angel of the Lord. That came through, the fleece stuff came through, everything. And he thought, well, now, yeah, I think I can do this thing now. I've got all these armies, even though, you know, he had said before that they were the weakest of the tribes and all that, but I got all these people, these big armies, and we can go. Yeah, look at all these things. Look at all these people. Look at all everything going right. Yeah, we can do this. But the Lord said to Midian, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Gideon still hadn't got the deal. He hadn't got it about faith in God. You know, there's a song that we sing sometimes, and Linda Shazzo wrote it, and I think she sang it when she came here. It says, I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Yeah. And every time I hear that, every time I hear that line, I just have to repent. Because that's the deal. We get to looking at ourselves, and then even if things start going good, then we think how good we must have done and how we've gotten all together now and everything's working out and, hey, this is going to be a great thing. And we just get to this point where it's like we begin to think that somehow it's us. And this is a really cool story, because the angel said, there's no way I'm going to let you do this, because you haven't gotten it yet. Hadn't really got it about faith in Him, about a God that is so big that He can work out this victory, and He doesn't need all these armies and everything. So we kind of know the story. Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. So then 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. You know, you're probably, I was thinking, well, what's Gideon thinking? He's probably thinking, oh, man, I had this thing all planned out, all worked out. I had all these people, and now look what God is doing. He's going to ruin it all for me. He's taking away all the stuff that I had put together, my plan. The Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. And then we know the story. And down in verse 6 of chapter 7, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. I remember, like he had said, they said, these enemies, they were mighty, powerful, and numerous enemies. So it looked like there was no way this could probably happen. But see, that gets us to the next point, is that God's plan is a plan of victory. God's plan is a plan of victory. That's how He operates. His plan is a plan for victory, for His own glory. Psalm 23:5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. You prepare a feast." And we talked about that last week, of what a real feast is. You know, you are preparing a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. Once you see yourself as God sees you, then you can also see His plan and how He's working things out. You may not see the end result, but you can see and you can know that His hand is involved. Why? Because your circumstances are going to remain the same. The things are going to be there. They're going to be the same. But you will have within you the peace of God that passes all understanding. And that's the difference between somebody who believes and somebody who doesn't believe. It's the peace of God in the midst of those circumstances. When we know that the result is in God's hands, then we can move toward being encouraged instead of discouraged. And when we're encouraged in the Lord, and this is really, I thought this was cool. Let me go back in chapter 7. Said, then he went down with Pura, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now, that was a result of Gideon still being afraid. The angel really wanted him to go alone, but he said, but if you're still afraid, take your servant with you. So it's evidence here that there was still fear in Gideon. But then it says, when Gideon, verse 13, and when Gideon came into the camp, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade, and he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent. Now, these were Midianites that were together that were talking. And Gideon was observing them. This was, in other words, he had gone into the enemy, into the camp of the enemy. And this is a result of what happens when you begin to be encouraged in God. Remember, Gideon hadn't gotten all the way there, but he was pretty close. So when you begin lifting up your eyes to the Lord is when God begins to show you what's going on more and more, what's going on in the spirit. So he said, behold, I dreamed, this man was talking, behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled in the camp, and it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his comrade answered, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. Now, what was going on here is that once the enemy knows that he hasn't got you in that place of despair and hopelessness and discouragement and distraction, then, as we become encouraged in the Lord, the enemy knows then that he's going to lose ground in our life. And you can know these things. This is, listen, this is reality. Most of you could testify to how this stuff works out in your life. What God is saying is more is lift up your eyes unto Him. Whatever your circumstances are, whatever is going on, lift your eyes up to Him. Seek Him with all your heart. Seek Him. Seek His righteousness. Seek His kingdom. Seek His face. And that's where encouragement is. That's where faith is. Just begin to lift up your eyes unto Him. And then we find that, you know, that the truth is the teaching here that God has said and that God has done through the angel in Gideon's life is that as we humble ourselves, that this is all works out through not through our stand, our you know, being so strong in ourselves, but our humility. And that's why the angel of the Lord had to have 300 to do it instead of 34,000 or whatever the number was. And the same principle works in our life. As we decrease, He increases. As we decrease, He increases. And then the other part of humility is that once, when we get to this place in the Lord, that we must allow God to do things His way and not demand that He do things our way. Amen. And then the last thing, is just in concluding this, is that faith is the key that opens the door to God's plan. Amen. Now, God's plan is already there. But for you to be able to walk instead of darkness in light, the key is faith. Amen. And that's why the reading from Hebrews, and I would encourage you again to read that. And, you know, we can talk about all kinds of things about what faith is, and you know, we know faith is the substance of things not seen. We know all those scriptures. But I wanted to just say a couple of things of other people that I think give us even a more comprehensive view of what faith is. And I'm going to end with this. Faith isn't faith until it's all you're holding on to. Amen. Faith isn't faith until it's all you're holding on to. Another a lady, these are quotes from people, not me, said, "You block your dream when you allow your fear to grow bigger than your faith." Amen. You drop your dreams when you allow your fear to grow bigger than your faith. Amen. And then last of all is this quote from Mother Teresa. She said, "I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish He didn't trust me so much." See, God trusts you. God just trusts you to have faith and trust in Him. And that's where God wants you to stay. That's where God wants you to be and to believe. So I pray that this encouraged some of you today and to walk out this out, to go back and read the story of Gideon, and read Hebrews 11, and wherever you are, whatever your circumstances are, that you would know that God is saying the word is, "Lift up your face to me." Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.